As we get started here, I'm going to start, actually, by inviting some people up to the stage. Let's go. All right. I'm going to invite Andrew Watts. Come on up, bud. You can come right over here. And Pastor Zach, right? My favorite youth pastor here at Hope Church. All right. Come on back up. We can't keep this guy off the stage. Look at that. Look at that. Mr. Watts, right over here, I need some help. Now, guys, this is what I'm going to have you do. Number one, I'm going to have you go grab that stool. Each of you has a stool. I'd like you to come grab that stool and place it where it belongs. I've given you some marks. Place it where it belongs. Good. Excellent. You guys are doing a good job. Okay. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to grab the green bag. There's a green bag on each side of the stage. And I want you to grab that and just bring it on back over here. Okay? Good. All right, I'm going to give you guys some instructions here on what I want you to do. Now, you have green bags. Okay, I want you guys to open the bags. And I don't know what's going on with Zach, but... And I want you to... You're going to build a tower for me. Each of you are going to build a tower. Okay. Andrew, I have some lines on this. Let's lift that up a sec. Okay. I want to show you guys I have some lines on this. You see those lines? Yeah. Some parameters for you to work with. And I'd like you to build your tower within those parameters. Okay. Have you ever built a Jenga tower?
I have. Yeah.
Okay. You know how it goes. This way, this way, this way. And you just start it that way. Okay. Zach, I want you to do the same thing, and I want you guys to get started, and just go ahead, and they're going to do this while I'm starting, okay? Go, you guys are good. All right, build yourself a tower. All right, we've been doing a series on relationships, okay? And, hold on. Zach, what are you doing? What? Is that a squishmallow? So you have a squishmallow. Okay, well, listen. I don't know what you're doing, but I think you should just build on what I've provided, okay? All right, go ahead and start and do that. All right, so let's talk about building relationships, okay? We're going to talk about building strong relationships, all right? Now, God is into building. I want to read my first scripture here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, right? We're using building materials here, analogies, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built. You are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. That makes sense because last week we said in our week one of relationship, you can go back and listen, that we are spiritual beings. It makes sense we'd be being built into a spiritual house. All right, now let me check in on these guys. Andrew? How are you doing?
Great.
It looks really good. You're doing a great job. Thank you. You're doing good. Zach, what are you? I see you decided to use the squishmallow. Can you tell me? I'm a little confused. Why are you using a squishmallow? So you like it, and it's comfortable.
I wanted to try it my way. I know you told me.
All right.
I think it will work.
Is it, it looks like it feels good. I mean, does it feel good? Okay. So I said that you probably should build on this bench that I provided, but you went with the squishmallow, okay? All right. Well, guys, well, let's see how this turns out, okay? All right. I want to read another verse, Romans 14:19. It says, "So then, let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Some versions say upbuilding, okay? Upbuilding. All right, let's check in again. Andrew, you look like you're done.
I am done.
You did a marvelous job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Look, you did it just the way I asked you to do it, and it looks great. Does this look pretty stable?
I think so.
I think it's pretty stable.
Didn't give any nails, but...
No, but it's pretty stable. I mean, that's going to stay. Thank you, Andrew. Pastor Zach?
Yes, sir.
How's yours coming?
All right,
well, let's, do you think we should keep going, or should we just...
Nope,
we shouldn't. Whoa, maybe we could just wait.
I'm gonna, no.
Do you think you could just leave it right there?
Hold on. I had it, so I put the...
What do you think? Did you just take one off, maybe? I mean, I don't know.
I had it.
Okay, I'm a little scared of Pastor Zach's. Andrew, you've done a great job. All right, see if you can get that. All right, gentlemen, why don't you take those bags with you, and thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. Hey. Woo. I'm going to, okay. Well, let me tell you about this word. I'm scared over here, okay? Let me tell you about this word building, okay? The Greek word, here it is, all right? It's oikodame. Oikodame. Okay, I have to practice saying that because I don't speak Greek and I'm not an expert. Oikodame is the word used in the Bible. Now, that word is made of two words in the original Greek. The first word is oikos, and oikos means home. Home. Okay? The second word in that is pronounced doma. Doma, that sounds like kind of like dome. Zach, I think that was a little unstable there. Let me just, wow. All right. Wow, that does feel good, though. That feels, squishmallow. Oh, wow, that feels really, really good. And it is comfortable, I'll tell you that. All right? All right, so doma means, when translated, it means edifice. And an edifice is a tower. All right, a tower. And so what we're saying here in Greek, if you translate it, building a tower. That's what it means. Okay? And what it means for our spiritual houses, as Peter mentioned, it means edification. It means one person promoting another person's upward growth. All right, building each other up, and that's why we use this term. And here at Hope Church, this is what we want. We want to be growing in an upward direction. All right, this Greek word used in the Bible is an architectural word. All right, now it sounds to me, maybe you can agree with me, it sounds to me like God had a plan for our relationships to be built up. Kind of like these Jenga towers. Well, this Jenga tower. We lost one of them over on this side, okay? Now, every building has a foundation. Okay, that's not news to you. But so does every relationship. Relationships have foundations. The question is this. What was God's original plan for relationships? What was His original design? The other question would be to ask yourself, what plan are you using? What plan are you using? What is your foundation? Are you using the plan that God provided and designed, or are you using a different plan? Right? What is your foundation? Now, we're working from the premise from last week. The premise is this, that every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. And we said that if that's the case, and the Bible is all about relationships, then we ought to learn how to have good relationships. Remember that from last week? And if that's the case, we ought to learn how to have good relationships, then we must learn how they are built. Relationships are built. I mean, look around you. Look around the world. Look around your friends and colleagues and neighborhoods and families, right? Relationships are falling apart all around us. And some people have done such a bad job. I'm not condemning anybody today, but some of us have done such a bad job of building up their relationships that things begin to fall apart. In fact, some of our relationship building has gotten so bad and so off the foundation from what God intended that they've even turned away from God's design altogether and followed patterns of their own. Some of those relationships have even turned into sinful relationships. All right, now you can do what feels good if you want to. Oops, I covered my mic, but this feels good. And you can do what's comfortable if you want to do that. You can do that. I mean, wow, I mean, this thing, a squishmallow is something special, I'll tell you. That is nice. You can do what feels good if you want to. But the question is this, what is God's purpose for relationships? He has a purpose for everything he does. What is the purpose for a relationship? All right? So the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at how God built relationships. This week, that's what we're looking at. The model he started with, we said last week that God was the number one relationship. God created a man, and it was God and man, and that was our number one relationship. Okay? Now, we want to move on to our next relationship, all right, about that woman. And I said you got to come back this week to find out about that woman. All right? The next relationship we see is unlike anything else ever made. This is unique. It is a special relationship. The relationship with your spouse. This is special, okay? This is the second relationship ever created on earth. And I know that maybe we're not all married here in the room, but I'm just saying this is how God designed relationships, and this was the second one made, and this is special. We can learn from this relationship. So, if God is your number one relationship, which we said last week, that makes the woman here. Is there some hesitation? Some of you guys did not answer. You guys are wise. But is she number two? Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Now, that's how I've always heard it. I grew up hearing it that way. God is your number one relationship, and your spouse is your number two relationship, and then family's number three, and then it goes on and on and on. And these are the priorities, and it's just a matter of priorities, right? Get it right, okay? But today I'm going to suggest to you that God is, in fact, your number one relationship, but that your spouse is not your number two relationship. I'm going to suggest that today. Are you ready for that? Let's read. We're going to pick up where we left off in Genesis. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. All right, the man was already created. Right? It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I will make a helper suitable for him. Let me ask you something. What is the first not good thing in all of creation, in all of Scripture? That's right. Up until this point right here, God said everything was good, and this is the first not good thing in creation. It is a missing relationship. We have a problem. The first problem in the world was a problem with relationship. You see what I'm saying? And all the problems in the world that have followed have all been because of a lack of relationship. Well, God looks at this poor guy, Adam, right? And in great compassion, with his giant heart, God says, you know what? He's alone. Let me ask you a question. Was he alone? Was he alone? No, he wasn't alone. He had his number one relationship. He wasn't alone. He had God, plus a lot of animals running around. So he's not alone. Why did God say that? When he says alone, he doesn't mean isolated with nothing to do. It's not what he means. In fact, Adam had plenty to do because if you read in Scripture, it says God had set him in the garden to work it and watch over it. That's a lot to do. Have you ever worked a project and watched over a project? That's a lot to do, isn't it? So when God says alone, he means there was no one to help. Ah, there it is. Adam had a lot to do. So the essence of a relationship, any true relationship, is to be a help. Be a help. Now, how many of you can answer this? How many of you get upset when you're doing something and nobody's helping you? Huh? Yo? Maybe at home with that spouse of yours, right? Hey, why am I doing all this? Where's my help? How many of that makes you upset a little bit sometimes after a while? Right? And so if you're not helping, if you're not helping and you're not helpful, the relationship isn't being a relationship. Because relationships were built on this need for help. God looked ahead in the man's life and he concluded, all right, he saw Adam, he looked ahead in his life and he concluded, now men in the room, listen to this. This is the God of the universe talking to you, your creator, men. He liked the way he made you. You're the man. All the men say, I'm the man. You're the man. He made you the man. But he said, man, he said, you need help. You need help. He looked ahead and he said, you need help. How many women know your man needs help? You know that? The women know that. It's just the men need to know that, right? It's true. In other words, he created the man to need help. We call this your better half, right? That's the better half, right? Yeah, that's right. And so, somebody knows, right? God wanted to provide a relationship, okay? All right? Now, you don't want to get into a relationship just because you're isolated and you have nothing to do. Don't get into a relationship because of that. That's not why God provided a relationship. You got to get into a relationship for the right reasons, right? Reasons for relationships. This is what God did. He has a reason for everything. Now, Genesis 2:19, let's pick it up. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. That's kind of a weird passage, huh? Now, I've always wondered, why is this part of the Bible there? God is passing animals in front of Adam, and it doesn't seem like we really need to know this part of the story, right? Of course, there were no suitable helpers in the animal kingdom. Of course not. So what is God doing? Oh, he has a reason for everything, doesn't he? What is he doing, let's just think about that. What was Adam seeing pass by him? All right, he saw animals, yeah, but he saw more than just animals. He saw God's design of distinction. He saw God's design of distinction. He saw male animals, and he saw female animals. Interesting. He saw pairings of animals, right? And he saw complements to one another, and he saw little baby animals, right? Made between the two larger animals. He saw that. And perhaps this was God's way of beginning what was to become the pairing in his own heart, his own complement. Do you think Adam wasn't moved by what he saw pass by him? Do you think that his heart wasn't moved by the animals he saw? Do animals move our heart at all? Okay, I'm going to show you a picture right now. Let's go. Let's put it up. Let's hit him. What? That has got to be the cutest animal in the world. Are you kidding me? I set out to find the cutest dog I could find, puppy, and I just held up pictures of puppies to my wife until she went, oh! And that's the one. Look at those pigtails. Are you kidding me? Now, did that just move your heart just a little bit? Some of you are like, no, that's not cute at all. I don't even have a dog, and I don't really want a dog. But that'd be hard to leave a store without. I mean, that is a cute dog. All right? All right, so that taps into your emotions just a little bit, doesn't it? It touched my heart a little bit when I saw this cute puppy. You think Adam's heart wasn't moved by what he saw passing before him? Here's what he saw, though. He didn't see this little guy or girl. I don't. He started seeing this. Check this out. He saw stuff like this, right? He saw a male and a female. And then he started seeing stuff like this. Let's check this one out. Ah. He saw a male lion with his cub. And maybe Adam started to long for something as he's seeing these things. He longed for something. Perhaps he began to see for himself that there was no complement. Perhaps he felt for himself, the need for his own pairing. And so he started thinking about this. Oh, that is baby Nate. That's my youngest. What a cutie pie. Man, that gets me right there. I'll keep that one. I will keep. And he looked at that. Saw that lion, saw that cub, started thinking about this. Then he started thinking about this. Oh, that's baby Nate and my wife Amanda. You know, he started thinking about this stuff. He started thinking, wait, where's my pair and where's my cub? Right? You think that maybe God was doing something in his heart? So a natural longing began to form in Adam's heart, and that's why I believe God passed the animals by him, and he thought, there's nothing here for me. There's nothing here for me. There's nothing like me to have a relationship with. And so how did God build the foundation of this special, unique relationship? How God did it? Oh, this, you guys, this is the masterpiece of his work. This is it. This is the crescendo, all right, leading to the pinnacle of creation. This is how relationships began. Let's listen to how God, in His wisdom, laid the foundation for this relationship that was forming in Adam's heart. Genesis 2, here it is, verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, right? And then closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And Adam wakes up, and he brought her to the man, and the man said, This is now bone of my bone, and it's flesh of my flesh. And she will be called woman. Hallelujah. For she was taken out of man, and that's why you're a woman. You got that name from Adam. Some versions that Adam say that Adam said, at last. He exclaimed, at last. And I think you can see that there's some excitement about this new creation. And here we have a distinctly different, however similar, kind of creation. And we talked about this last week, but we have another spiritual being, right, that was given the breath of life, that was created to be a helper. She was made differently than anything else on earth. She was not of the dirt. Isn't that great? The woman is not made from the dirt, right? So we say, don't treat her like she was, right? But she was made from Adam's side. Why is that? Well, just think about what Adam said. She's part of me. A literal part in this case. What's the importance of this rib? All right, the rib's from the side. It's oneness. Oneness. Okay, here's what we learned. You can't bless your wife without blessing yourself. Amen. You can't bless your wife without blessing yourself. And you can't hurt your wife or your spouse without hurting yourself. There's a oneness. That's a good thing to learn. She was different, but not completely separate. Why is that so important? Well, it's a good thing that God did not create Eve the same way He created Adam. Let me tell you why I think that. Because they were meant to be complementary, not competitive. Right? In this modern day, you know what's been going on out there. We've taken these two distinctly different but similar creations, and we've put them in competition with each other. What has that proven? Well, it's proven what we've known all along. We're not made the same way. We're different. Right? Now, if the woman was, in fact, made from the dirt, God would have created competitors. See how smart He is? And then we've got the world of Wonder Woman. Yeah, the Amazon ladies. Have you seen that? The Wonder Woman race of women? They're called the Amazons. It's a race of women. It's crazy. DC Comics. The race of warrior women. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Superman is stronger. I'm getting some evil eyes out there. Now, actually, that's not what I want to tell you. I want to tell you this. I want to tell you, a man is superior. Now, don't leave. Don't leave. Don't walk out. A man is superior at being a man. Huh? There we go. I saved that one. I saved that one right there. Men, I'll clue you in. Okay, you ready? A woman is superior. See, women, I love you. At being a woman. A woman superior at being a woman. Praise God. Turn to somebody, all right? If you have a spouse here, turn to them and say, you are superior at being a man. And man, you got to do this. Turn to your woman or just turn to somebody else that's of the opposite sex and say, woman, you are superior at being a woman. Okay? That's what God did. Okay? Are we clear on this? Are we good? Is everybody good with this? All right. In other words, God created a man and a woman differently, just exactly how he wanted them to be, but he created them linked, connected, right? It was a perfect relationship. What does that tell us about relationships? Well, whether you're married or not married, okay, we're not meant to do life without others. We're not designed that way. Adam knew some stuff. He knew what a lot of us need to learn about our relationship. He did not see Eve as his number two. He also did not see Eve as his number one. He saw Eve as one with him. See what I mean? That's why she's not your number two. She is one with you. And together, they made God their number one. That's how we do it, guys. Isn't that great? The woman and the man become one in relationship to God, and that was the pinnacle of what was good. Relationship. All right? This was the foundation of what we come to know as a biblical, strong, holy, God-honoring marriage. This is the foundation. All right, now check out this last verse that we throw in here, Genesis chapter 2, okay? Look at this last verse. We've been talking about Adam and Eve and creation. Genesis 2, 24. Here's what it says. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Okay, that is why. That is why this answers the question of why marriage is a thing. Marriage is a thing that starts right here that God started. All right, rather than everyone just going around making duplicates of themselves with whoever they want, right? I'm taming this down, right? Because we got little ones in here or young ears. Rather than have life that way, God designed a union to take place. Now, when I say union from here on out, I mean the kind that is both spiritual and produces children. So you know what I'm talking about when I say the word union, okay? The two are united as one. This is God's plan for this particular special relationship. This relationship is one that feels no shame. Isn't that great? There's no shame in this relationship. And I'm going to tell you this. There's a point in life. Okay, young people, I want you to listen to me. There is a point in life when you care a whole lot less about what feels good. Okay? And you care a whole lot more about what leaves you with no shame. There's a point in life where you're going to get there. You don't care so much about what feels good. You care about how much shame you're carrying. All right, you young people, you can do it right. Maybe you haven't made some of the mistakes some of us have made. All right, but you're going to care about that at some point. All right, now this union between this man and this woman is allowed. This is an allowed union because it came from the mind of God. And he said, I did this because I want unions to take place this way. That's why he did it. As a matter of fact, this right here, this union, is the only union allowed. It's the only union allowed in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It is the only union allowed in the Bible. And there are types of unions that are not allowed in the Bible. But those other unions were happening. They were happening. They were taking place. I'm not going to single out anyone today. Not singling out any group of people, but you can read about these unions in Leviticus chapter 18. All right? I'm going to read just the first part of Leviticus 18. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and tell them, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Do not follow the practices of the land of Egypt where you used to live, or follow the practices of the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you.'" Right? So don't follow the practices of where you came from, and don't follow the practices of where you're going. "You must not follow their customs. You are to follow my ordinances, and you are to keep my statutes by following them." Why? "I am the Lord your God. Because that's what I said to do." All right? There's some interesting things in Leviticus 18. All right, wait, maybe I will point out one of them. I am going to point out one of them. There's a whole bunch of stuff, but listen, Leviticus 18:23, okay? Now, this was what it says. "You are not to have a union with any animal." Hello? Ever heard that preached in church? That scripture right there? That's crazy. This is what it says. "You're not to have a union with any animal, defiling yourself. It is a perversion." That's what it says. Now, that's just one. There's many things in this chapter. You can check it out. There's a list of things. But listen, the very fact that God had to mention these types of unions tells us that unions like these were being carried on in the world at the time. All right? And when you read through this list, you're going to start to see how many problems in the world were problems with relationships. Just read Leviticus 18. In fact, when you read Leviticus 18, you will know of, or you will know someone who has either been violated in one of these ways or has practiced one or more of these ways. And you can even tell me that one of these ways is likely where a person's problems might have originated. In fact, God says it's because of these practices that he drove out all the nations because they defiled themselves in all of these things. All of these things, including the one I just read. All right, let's get back to Genesis, right? This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife. If you think this verse right here doesn't mean anything today, just to emphasize the utter importance of Genesis 2:24, I'm going to share this with you. There are two big heavy hitters in the Bible that refer to this exact scripture when talking about the union of marriage. And their names are Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Jesus, our Savior, Jesus. Big hitters, right? They refer to this very verse, and Jesus says right here in Matthew 19, he says, "Haven't you read?" He replied, "that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh." But Jesus tacks on a little more. He tacks on the conclusion that we are supposed to arrive at. And here's what he says. He says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." All right, this was supposed to be a lifelong union. A lot of lifelong unions are falling apart in the world right now. Paul tells us there's more to it than that. It's a mystery. This mystery of this beautiful lifelong union and why God did it this way, why he built it this way, was to reveal the union that Christ and the church have, which is a union with God. Actually, it's a reunion. A reunion. Not a physical union, but a spiritual union. Because we lost all that, and we're going to be reunited. All right, what does this all mean? Our marriages, our relationships, don't only speak about our marriages. Our marriages don't only speak about our marriages, they speak about God. They reflect God's holiness. And that is why it's not wise to do marriage any other way. It's not wise. I mean, you can do what feels good, and you can do what's comfortable, but it's not wise, right? You hear what I'm saying? You're not reflecting God's holiness accurately. Right? Even if you're not married, your relationships still reflect upon the Creator. All right? Now, since we're running over a little bit, I'm going to move to the end. All right? Let's take the stack here that Andrew built. The stack that Andrew built. Good job, Andrew. You listened to what my instructions. Good job. Good job. All right? Sometimes we approach our relationships the wrong way. And you say, well, Pastor Kevin, this is all good, but there's some things I don't want. I don't want to, oh, there's a good one. I don't want that. Whoa, hey. I don't want to listen to what you're saying. I don't really want to listen to what the Bible has to say about this. Okay? I'm gonna do my relationship, but I'm gonna take that out. I don't want that. All right? I don't want to, where's that other one I just felt? Let's find one. There's a good one. I don't want to do unions the way God says to do them. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to do relationships, but I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want to build my home life and structure my home, right? You know, with prayer and reading the Bible and loving my wife and submitting to my husband and those things. I don't want that. I like a lot of this, but I don't want that, okay? I don't want that. I'm going to do it my way. I don't want that, all right? I'm not really sure I need church. I mean, the Bible says that I should spend time with the community of believers and things like that. And, you know, I'm not real keen on that idea. I don't think I need church. I don't want that in my relationships either. I honestly don't even need help. I can do things on my own. I don't need help, even though God, you know, said, well, here's kind of how relationships work, and they're built on help and trust and the things we talked about last week, but I don't want that. So I'm not gonna, in fact, I don't need you, Pastor Kevin. I don't need you to be my preacher. I don't want to hear any another word. In fact, I want to leave because we're going over. I don't want that. Okay? I don't need help. And I don't need to abstain. I don't need to abstain from anything the Bible says. I don't need to abstain. I mean, I think I can handle it. I can handle this thing called love and relationships. And let's see. Can I handle this Jenga stack is the question. Ooh, that's getting terrifying. I don't need to abstain. I just, all right, what happens next in God's word? Genesis chapter 3. The fall of mankind. Introduce the adversary to your life. The enemy of your relationships. Who enticed this beautiful lifelong union to do things their own way. And what was the first thing the serpent ever attacked? It was a relationship. And the serpent sees God's plan taking shape, and he sees the powerful union that has been made between man and woman, and the powerful union between these two who are one. These spiritual beings and their union with God. And he throws out a simple question, and it's this. Did God say? Did God say that? And we have been debating this in the church and in the world ever since. Did God really say? And doubt enters the mind for the first time of this beautiful union, and they think, wait a minute, God doesn't love me. He's controlling me. I don't want that. I don't want any of that. Okay? I don't want God to control me. I don't want God. God is controlling me. Okay? He's actually lying to me. This is what Satan got them to believe. I don't need this relationship. Wait. I can do this on my own. I can gain my own wisdom. I can become like God. That's what Adam and Eve believed. I can be my own God. That's what Satan tempted them to believe, they could be like God. I don't want his control. And ultimately, guys, I don't need God. I don't need God. All right? I think I'm good. I'm good. I don't need God. My life's still standing. It's okay. I don't need God. I don't need him. Okay? This is going to stay standing. That was not the analogy. This one here, this central one, okay? The center of it all. I don't need God. And you guys, this is why relationships are falling apart all over the world. All right? Do you know why Adam and Eve died? They died because they disobeyed. They chose to do things their own way, and they traded away their eternal life for sin. But there's hope, because God's word says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus came and became our sin to restore us to eternal life again. We had lost it, but it is regained again. That we would be in that beautiful, eternal, lifelong relationship with him forever. Amen? Relationship's God's way. I hope something sticks with you today. Let me pray. And I apologize for being so far over today. Let's pray. God, we need your help. We need your help. You designed us to need your help. Lord, some of us have been building on shaky foundations. We've been building on what we like better and what feels good and what feels comfortable. But there's a reason you laid a foundation. It's so that we would have a strong relationship that would last forever. I mean, God, some of our relationships are ready to fall right now. But we ask you to help us, because we've been made to need help, so we cry out for your help today. Come into our relationships and help us rebuild. Help us do them right. Help us do them your way. And thank you, God, for your Son who died on the cross for us to restore to us our number one relationship. We are so grateful. Your will be done in our lives. You stand above all in the end. Let your word be a light to our path. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.